Well, we're so glad that you're here at Gateway. We give it up for the band as they just lead us every single weekend. If you're watching online, I know you love it. It's okay to clap while you're at home. And you may not know this or not, but Bryce, the guy who was singing, he's not on staff. He works in finance during the week. And then you had Bristy, who has our own nonprofit. And then you have Gabby, who was on stage with the big hat, the cool one with the hat, the Puerto Rican, right? Boricua. And she's a nurse during the week. And so when we ask you to make a difference and to serve, you just got to know we're modeling that on stage, right? These are people who give up their time to be able to lead us. So we're so honored to have them use their talents on the weekend here at Gateway. We are in this series called Relaunch and already hearing some really good things about last week, week one, where John, our lead pastor, covered heal. And what does it mean to heal? H-E-A-L, right? And because culture's already telling us to heal, like stop everything, right? But to heal, to allow ourselves time and space and the forgiving of ourselves in order to walk through some of the traumas that we've been through and we've walked through and the resources that we have here at Gateway for that. And I, by the way, my name's Carlos, I get to lead week two. And week two is about belonging. And so it's a way that we connect here at Gateway. Week one is we believe in healing, we believe in belonging. And I just gotta be honest with you, I've been kind of wrestling with the message even as I wrote it over the last few weeks. And then I spoke it last night at our central campus. I'm just wrestling through it, not because how are you going to receive it, but more, God, what is it you're trying to do in me as a person in this message? And also because it's a bit of a challenge. We say belong, usually it's very encouraging and open and hey, there's a place for you. And guess what? All of that is really true. There is a place for you to connect and to belong and to really walk out. Maybe what God has for you doesn't matter where you're at in your life, no matter where you're at in the spectrum of spirituality and church and faith, it really doesn't matter. And yet what I was wrestling through was there's basically three groups of people that we had in mind as we're writing this message. And normally you don't share this as a communicator. Normally you have that in your mind, the rubric of who am I trying to speak to? But in the matter of transparency and honesty, I wanna tell you who the three groups are, and then we're gonna pray and then we're gonna jump into the content. The first group is those of you who already belong. You are already connected. You're already trying to make a difference. You believe in Jesus and you're walking it out and you're doing everything you know to do. And this message is to encourage you. Again, a reminder of the why behind what we do. And then the second group is maybe those of us who are nominal believers or we do believe in Jesus, but we haven't really found our groove. We haven't found our place yet. We really can't say we belong. We love Gateway or you love church or you like being online or whatever it might look like for you, but we really don't know anybody. We're not really connected. We're actually, if we're going to be honest with you, as your pastor letting you know, you're one step away from nobody knowing you're not here anymore. Not really belonging, connecting. And then there's a third group. There's that group who, you know what? You're still in this journey of faith. You're trying to figure this out. You're coming. Maybe you're having, again, an out-of-body experience. I can't believe I'm at church. I can't believe I'm watching online. And yet, maybe this is your first time here or your 10th time here or 5 years here as you're in this journey trying to understand who God is. And guess what? This message is still for you. And you're going to receive it very differently as individuals. And that's probably my tension as a communicator today. How are people going to receive it? Not because of me, but because of your future and what God has for you. So with that in mind, here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray that no matter where you are in life and no matter what you're facing, we could all have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to receive whatever it is that God wants to do in us through this series and through today's message. All right, so with that in mind, let's all pray. God, thank you for everybody who's watching today, those online, those in the room. There might be people who are new to faith saying, these people sure do pray a lot. And yet we are compelled to continually come before you to make our petition known and to say, God, no matter where we're at, we have stopped our busy lives. We have come to church. We're watching online. And we're saying, God, give us eyes to see our life very clearly. Give us ears to hear maybe what you're prompting in us. And then give us a heart to receive a seed today in the message that can grow deep roots and can germinate and can have a harvest in time to come. It's in Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. Amen. So I hate church, and I hate church people. Actually, I'm not sure if I hate church people because I haven't really experienced church without the people. I mean, I may actually like church. I may actually not mind the songs, or I may not mind the messages, and I may actually enjoy the tradition of it all, but I know for a fact I will not like the people. You're like, man, what kind of pastor are you? I'm a pastor who was a kid who grew up in church, and those were my thoughts every single weekend. I can't stand the people. I don't want to look like them. I don't want to dress like them. I don't want to talk like them. And they're my biggest obstacle to knowing God, is the people. Because I was the pastor's kid who was not the best kid to hang around with. You would not let your kids hang out with me. Believe me, you would not let your kids hang out with me. And I would have the, you know, some of the most senior people in our church, and they would grab me by the ear. Remember those days when people just grab you by the ear to stop you? That's called abuse now. We called it everyday life. And I would be running and somebody grabbing your legs, like go out from under you, and then they would say, you are the pastor's son. You should not be acting this way. And one time I had enough of it because I was now in middle school and I'm an adult. And the most respected person in our church grabbed my ear while I was running by, and she said that very word. And I looked at her, and I gave her an earful of every expletive I knew. And she let go of my ear. What she actually says, ay, Dios mío. She was in shock. And I walked away like, yeah, boy, you're never going to grab my ear again. Then I get home, and my father says, did you ever run in with, we used to call them sisters. That's an old, sister so-and-so. I said, maybe, why? I heard you said a few choice words. Yeah, but dad, here's what she did. He goes, I understand she should not have done that, but you can't do that. And I said, oh, that old lady turned me in. And I told him that, and he goes, actually, she didn't say anything. Somebody overheard you talking to her that way and turned you in. Like, I'm going to the police. And that was my life. And that might have been many of our lives, is people trying to control us and tell us, and with good hearts trying to point us to God, but then telling us it has to be this way, and pulling the proverbial ear that it has to be a particular way for you to know God. And so now it becomes the biggest obstacle. And you fast forward all these years, and I was a sophomore in college, and I finally give my life to Christ. And I'm trying to grow in a church, but I'm like growing like a plant without any sunshine. I'm trying to be in the shadows. Nobody knows I'm there. I'm coming late. I'm leaving early. I don't want to meet anybody, but I've made this commitment to follow Jesus, and I don't know how I'm going to do it all by myself. And so one of these days, about 3 months in, I had a tap on the shoulder. It was a guy named Bracy Wilson. I didn't know Bracy Wilson at the time, but he tapped me on the shoulder, and it was a real awkward moment because I turned around. It's this good-looking guy, about a year or two older than me, and he's all cleaned up, and has his hair nice and perfect, and he looks at me with a big smile, and he goes, I've been noticing you lately. And I'm like, is this guy hitting on me, or is he trying to encourage me? I really can't tell the difference right now. And I'm just talking to him, and he goes, hey, we have a play happening this Wednesday night, or in 2 weeks, for our students. And I think you would be perfect to be in the play. I'm like, dude, you don't even know me. You don't even know if I speak English or not. And you're asking me to be in a play. He had no idea I was in play and theater when I was in high school. He knew none of that stuff. And something in me said, it's time to take a next step. Nobody knew my name. Nobody knew who I was. And I find myself at a practice that week, and I went from being part of a church in South Dallas, this church that I was trying to grow in all by myself, not knowing anybody, as a 20-year-old college kid, to all of a sudden building this community And now I was a member of Oak Cliff Assembly of God in Oak Cliff, Dallas, Texas. Oak Cliff, if you know what I'm talking about. And what I want to do today is be the Bracy Wilson of your life and tap you on the shoulder and say, there's a place for you. You don't really need to do this by yourself. Maybe your next step could be something you never thought it would be, but belonging to something greater than you really does change your life. So I told you the three groups of people that I'm really addressing today, and all of us fall in one of those categories. And so to all get on the same page, let's have a working definition of what it means to belong. The word belong. Now, the first definition is this: to be suitable, advantageous, or in a proper situation. Here's an example. A woman of her ability belongs in teaching. Okay? So belonging, something that says it's suitable for you. And then the second definition is this: to be the property of, to be attached or bound by birth, allegiance or dependency, to be a member of a club or an organization. The example is, they belong to their homeland, their place of birth. Or as Taylor Swift would say it, you belong with me. And those of you who don't know who Taylor Swift is, don't worry about it. Belonging. And I know some of us don't like that word belonging because it does have that connotation of ownership, as somebody owns me and nobody's gonna own me. No, I am my own person. I totally understand. I am super independent. I know what you're talking about. I almost tried to break up with my wife when we were engaged because I just thought, I'm gonna be married for the rest of my life. Do I really wanna do this? In the middle of trying to break up with her, I was like, yes, this is the one. Can I take all the words back? And fortunately, she took me back. And 21 years later, here we go. And I love belonging to Libby Ortiz. I love it. I do. If you'd have told me that when I was in college, I was like, no, I'm my own person. I'm super independent. I don't want to belong to anybody. And yet, our soul, our heart, as we grow in Christ, as we really try to figure out this faith thing, it's going to compel us to belong to something, to let go of that pride. So as we move forward, we want to jump into scripture, and we're going to jump into John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and there's 17 verses it covers. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read about 8 or 9 verses and kind of give us the full context of what's happening in this passage. Here we go, verse 1. And Jesus says, I am the true grapevine, and my father's the gardener, and he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Now, hold on real quick. I thought you were talking to us about belonging to something, and all I'm reading so far is that God cuts people off. Let's keep reading. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. And verse 4, remain in me, belong in me, and I will belong in you. For a branch cannot produce if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Verse 5, yes, I am the vine, this is Jesus talking, and you are the branches, you're the extension of Christ. And those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Verse 9, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. So remain in my love. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. In verse 12, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Verse 16, you didn't choose me. I chose you. That's a creepy thing to say, right? I know you don't love me yet, but you have to love me because I loved you first. If somebody told you that, you'd be like, get away. And yet Jesus says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you, I called you, I commissioned you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. And this is my command, love each other. And there's a progression that's happening in this passage. This is a progression of God going first as the gardener, and they have a progression of Jesus saying, as I am in relationship with God, as God is pruning my branches, as I obey God the Father, as I am in love with God the Father, so I want you to be with me. I want you to be connected with me. I want you to have relationship with me. I want you to know me, and I want to know you. And there will be pruning, and there will be things that cut off. And I know it may not feel good, but it's good for you. When I gave my life to Christ, I needed pruning. I gave my life to Christ, and the night before, I had slept with somebody I didn't know. I was at a club till 3 a.m. Can you imagine me coming to Jesus saying, okay, God, I'm gonna serve you now, but every Saturday night, I'm gonna go keep doing what I've been doing. Because you love me as I am. I needed that to change. I needed healthy things in my life. I needed the unhealth to be rooted out. And Jesus is saying, if I'm in you the way I am in the Father, and if you obey me as I obey the Father, and if you relish and love the love I have for you as I relish and enjoy the love with the Father, then you can be fruitful in life as I am fruitful in the Father. There's this invitation. So what do we glean from this passage, this analogy of the vineyard? There's three things. Number one, whether we like it or not, we belong to the gardener. We belong to the gardener. God is our gardener. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, verse 19, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. If you're wondering what this churchy language, this scripture is saying, you might be saying, I don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. What are you talking about? You're talking about ghosts? Like, is that what you're talking about? The Holy Spirit is an extension of who God is. And scripture tells us that you cannot come to know God the Father unless the Spirit of God woos you and pulls you in. And that Spirit of God begins a relationship with you and I. And once you come to know God, that pull becomes stronger and stronger, and we are compelled to continue to grow. We're compelled to grow as people. We're compelled to help others and love others and change the life of others because we belong to the gardener. And why is that? Because the gardener has an original dream in mind. My mom thinks she's an incredible gardener. She's watching right now. Mom, you're amazing. But guess what? When I go to her house, I sure do love when she takes the things out of her garden and she makes me a meal. We have a garden here at our North Campus, and they are just in relation. They love my mom. They're giving my mom stuff that they're growing in the garden. It's like, why are you doing that? You're like feeding the beast, right? My mom is gonna turn a whole backyard into a garden because she has a dream for the garden. She has a dream not just to have nice pictures in the garden, but to bring sustenance to her family, to her neighbors. God has a dream for the original garden. Because the original garden, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, is where Adam and Eve, where they were created and meant to be in relationship with God. So this analogy, this metaphor of God as gardener, you find it throughout scripture because he wants those in relationship with him to grow. He wants you to grow and for me to grow and be connected to a vine and to grow. He's the original green thumb. Because when he creates something, he has a dream in mind and we are part of that dream. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to the gardener. And the gardener has to make tough decisions. The gardener has to decide when to cut something off and when to keep it. We have landscapers that are at our North Campus who gave us some bad news a few months ago. They said, hey, after the winter storm and now that summer's come, you have a lot more dead trees than you thought right after the storm. And if you don't cut them this coming winter, they could fall on cars or they could bring damage to other people. And they had to cut quite a few trees on our campus because they were dead. They looked nice. Some of them were still green. But once they cut them and you could see how hollow they were, how rotted they were, how dead they were, it made sense. And the gardener sometimes has to make tough decisions. And sometimes we have to allow the gardener to make tough decisions. We have to allow the gardener to prune things in us. But we got to know this, the gardener's decisions are grounded in love. They're decided because of a desire for you and I to truly grow as people, as sons and daughters, as leaders, as husbands and wives. There are things that just have to get cut off. 12 years ago, something had to die in me. And it was causing a lot of friction in my marriage. And my wife finally sat me down after 5 years and she said, "This has to stop." And I was crying. We were having this life moment because she was asking me to give up fantasy football. It's not funny. You guys are still laughing when I say it's not funny, because in that moment, I was very upset. I was doing it with my boys. I was doing it with the guys. I was having a great time. And she's like, "Yeah, but you're leaving church because you forgot to change your starting lineup." She's like, "This thing that was good for a season to connect with other people, you are now obsessed over it. You're up at night reading stats. You're not even talking to me. You're talking to your friends about guys in tights." And I had to stop. So when I got invited this last year to rejoin a fantasy football league here in Austin, I thought, perfect example. It's a way for me to connect in a new city with new people. So I went to my wife and she says, "Do you think you can do it?" "Of course I can do it." "No, do you think you can handle it?" "What do you mean? 12 years have gone by. You know how much the fantasy draft has evolved? You thought it consumed your life 12 years ago. What's it gonna do now? You love numbers. You love stats. You love football. I want you to love me." And so instead of asking my wife to prune it, I had to say no. And I'm using a silly example, because how many things in our life have we actually had to say no to, but we won't? Because we've given an excuse. And the gardener is saying, there's things we have to cut, and you do not belong to yourself. The second thing we have to understand is that we belong to the vine. We belong to Jesus. And Jesus says, apart from the vine, you can't do anything. Apart from the vine, you cannot grow. And we would say even at Gateway, apart from the vine of who Jesus is, you cannot fully heal. You cannot fully heal. Whether it's 12 steps or recovery or marriage or everything in between. At Gateway, we try to make it as easy as possible for you to try to heal, because the work of healing is hard in and of itself. Last week, John spoke on healing, and we've created spaces for people to be healed. And Your Story Matters is coming up. Your Story Matters is actually gonna go online because the classes are all full now. And so people are excited about that. There's other things happening at multiple campuses for you to heal. But something's happening this Friday night. And it's a little bit of an announcement, but I want you to understand the heart of what's happening this Friday night here at North Campus in person. Our Women's Network is having an event. And there's a licensed professional counselor who's gonna be leading the night, talking about what have we lost over the last 2 years. Talking about mental health and getting healthy and being reconnected to the vine when we feel disconnected from the vine of life. And here's the heart behind it. And I'm taking it right from the write-up. You will leave with a soul care plan, some new connections. See that? With others who can help you walk out a life of wholeness and joy. And guess what? Coffee and dessert is provided. See, we're trying to make it easy for you because the work is hard. We're gonna give you a little coffee, a little dessert, because you might shed a few tears. We're gonna make sure that you can connect with other people, because doing this work alone is difficult. And we belong to the vine. It requires us to grow. It requires obedience. And nobody likes to be required of obedience. Nobody wants to say, I'm very obedient. I am subservient. Nobody wants that. And yet when you're connected to the vine who Jesus is, he asks us to be obedient because he was obedient. He was obedient to leave heaven, to come to the earth, to take on human form, obedient, Philippians says, even death on a cross. And yet nobody's asking you to die on a cross, or asking you just to make a difference in others, but it has to be done in you first. And then we belong to the vine. It brings fruit. It's one thing to say you've been a gateway or church or you've followed Jesus for 15 or 20 years. But let me ask you this. Do you have 15 years of experiences with Jesus? Do you have 20 years of experiences with Jesus? Let me tell you what I normally find when somebody tells me that they've been following Jesus as long as they've been following Jesus. What I find is this. At some point, we stop growing and we start repeating. And we live the same year over and over and over. And instead of 20 years with Jesus, we have 1 year with Jesus 20 times. When we stop growing our marriage, you're not married for 20 years. You're married for 1 year 20 times. That's not growth. And I know that's not super positive, but it's true. Do we have a growing relationship with Christ? And when we belong to the vine, you cannot help but to grow in Christ. And sometimes that growth happens in ways that are hurtful, that are hard to hear. Sometimes we go through things that we don't want to face, but I'm telling you, as we are going through what we're going through, if we do it connected to a vine, it makes us stronger and better than we were before, even if the circumstances we're going through do not seem positive or leading us in the direction we want to go to. God is with you because you are with him. Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. The onus is on us to stay remained and connected and belonging to a vine. And if we do, the promise is that we will be fruitful. I had a mentor who would say this, and I can't believe I'm quoting him right now because it annoyed me when he would tell me this. It annoyed me. You know how when your parents study stuff for so many years and then you start saying that same thing to your kids? You hated it for years, but now it's like, oh, that's a pretty good idea. I like that line. He would say this. We're called to remain faithful. We're called to remain connected. We're called to belong. And I know it doesn't seem like a lot is happening in your life by being faithful. And he would say this, but if you'll stay faithful and faithful and faithful, and then he would go in circles, and faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful. Let me take a breath. And faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful. And some of you are like, I'm sick of being faithful already. When am I going to be fruitful? And faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful. One day you'll be fruitful. And I know that's tough, but it's true. Remain in me. He didn't say for how long, did he? Hey, remain in me for 6 months and the next 6 months will be amazing. There's no timeline. He says, remain in me, belong to me and I will belong to you. Stay connected to me and I'll be connected to you. Just remain, just remain, just remain. Don't disconnect, don't disconnect. And one day you will grow fruitful. Because we belong to the gardener, we belong to the vine. And speaking of fruitfulness, we belong to fruitfulness. And you know what fruitfulness is? Others. See, coming to know Christ and seeing the light of who Jesus is, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of a beautiful life growing in Jesus. Because a true mark of discipleship, a true mark of maturity is when your life is beginning to feed others and grow others. When you now have branches that reach out to people and they connect to the vine, not to you necessarily, they connect to the vine of who Jesus is and you bring people to know who Jesus is. Because connection to the vine is required before we can really connect others. If you're a parent in the room, do you know how important it is for you to be connected to the vine of Jesus Christ? You cannot expect your children to know Jesus if you are disconnected from Jesus. You cannot expect your kids to go away to college and try to live a life in Christ and stay close to the vine if all you modeled for them was disconnection from the vine. And I know I'm being straightforward today, and I know I'm usually the funny guy, but can I tell you, this is wrecking me this last week, because I have a kid off at college. I have another one leaving next year, and I'm like, oh, I'm freaking out, and my wife is freaking out. Did we really model for them what it means to know the vine of Jesus Christ? Or do we model for them what was convenient? Do we model for them that, oh, people at the church know I have my boat and I'll be gone for 4 months? Because that's in scripture somewhere. That's probably two emails right there I'll get. But you, whatever we model for those around us is what we pass on to them. If we are connected to the vine, others are able to be connected to the vine. And I know that sounds really selfish. Oh, you're asking us to think about ourselves first? Actually, I am. According to Airbus, how long, get a number in your mind, how long do you think you have at 37,000 feet if a plane loses pressure before you lose all useful consciousness? How much time do you think you have at 37,000 feet? Pressure's lost. How much time do you have of useful consciousness? Here's the answer, 18 seconds. You have 18 seconds to get that mask on they tell you to put on first before you take care of your children and those around you. Why do they tell you that? How good are you to your children if you are no longer useful? Put it on first, take care of others, connect to the vine, help others connect to the vine. It's really, really important. And I know we talk about this connection, we talk about what this means, but I gotta tell you, there's different ways to connect to the vine. There's actual spiritual acts that we can do that make a difference in others' lives. A few weeks ago, our men's hiking network, our outdoor network, started a new group, the Mountain Biking Crew. Chris Phillips is helping lead that. This is the first time they got together. First time they got together. And you might say, well, that's not very spiritual. Well, why not? People stop their lives to do something with a group of people under the umbrella of, we are trying to grow and connect. And we don't know what those conversations are gonna look like. We don't know how those men's lives are gonna be changed. We don't know if they're gonna invite other people to come. You don't know. But I would rather these men get together and ride their bikes together and build community around one another than to sit at home by themselves with no one around. See, you have to be connected before you connect others. And then the vine requires that we love others. John 15, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. One of the values here at Gateway, something that brought me here, it's this value of having a running partner, somebody who does life with you. So instead of me just explaining it, I thought I would take out my camera from this last week of me connecting with my running partner and let him explain what it means to have somebody you do life with. Watch this.
All right, everybody, here I am talking about running partners, and here is my running partner, the Charles Dischinger. You may not know this, but he's also an executive pastor here at Gateway. And every week we come out and we play tennis, and we run around and play old man ball. And we talk, and we pray, and we stop, and it usually takes us 2 hours to play one set because we're tired, and we're talking about life, and we're praying, and we're sharing what God's speaking to us. So I was going to ask my buddy one question. So Charles, what does it mean to have a running partner?
Yeah, so to follow the tennis metaphor, it is like we're volleying back and forth. We're asking each other questions. We're encouraging each other, keeping each other accountable. And it's just, it's like having a good tennis partner, someone who's got your back, prays for you, loves you, walks through life with you. And we train together spiritually, like we're trying to help each other become better in life and as dads, as husbands. And yeah, it's great just having someone to be a spiritual friend, a spiritual running partner with. So I love this guy. I'm glad we get to do life together and play tennis as part of that.
He's definitely my running partner, although I make him run more than he makes me run. So there you go.
That's my every Monday. I get to sit with somebody. He knows what I'm reading in my Bible. I know what he's reading. That didn't just come because I joined a staff at a church. It was almost like we were asking each other out on a date. It was awkward. We became friends, we're hanging out. I was like, hey, so, you know, like this running partner thing, I feel connected to you, like in a cool way, right? Like, you know, okay, like, and we're both like having this little dance, and then we're like, yeah, let's just do this. And I know it's not easy. It's not like, oh, can you be my spiritual running partner? And you hug each other, and then God just connects you. No, it doesn't happen that way. It takes sacrifice. It takes humility. Walking life with somebody, but it takes love for somebody else. And the last thing it requires is the love for others requires sacrifice. John 15, 13, there's no greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. We had a leadership gathering a few weeks ago with leaders all over Gateway, and I spoke on two things. John was there and Eric, and we spoke, and I spoke on two things. On wealth and time, two things that our culture says we have to hoard. and on time, we talk a lot self-care and self-care and self-care. But can I tell you something? Do we do self-care in connecting to the vine of Jesus Christ? Because if self-care is only tennis and hiking and boating and sleeping and Netflix and eating, none of that is the vine of Jesus Christ in and of itself. What about self-care that connects us to the one who created us and loved us and sacrificed his life for us? You'll never regret being connected to the vine. I talked to you about our church in Oak Cliff in Dallas, and that's where I first, 5 years later, became a staff member and started my journey in ministry. And this lady came up to me after she gave her life to Jesus. She's like, Pastor Carlos, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And she was going on and on how she loves Jesus. I was like, that's amazing. She goes, it's like I won the lottery. It's like coming to know Jesus, like I won the lottery. And you know, in the moment I was probably, you know, I was a kid and I was like, yeah, that's great. And we celebrated. But now I look back and it breaks my heart a little bit. Because what happens to most lottery winners? They go bankrupt. How does somebody earn $200 million and get a whole new life, end up broke? And how is it that some of us have come to know Jesus and have a whole new life and we're broke and bankrupt? There's no shame in it. It happens. But we don't have to stay there. Because life doesn't come through the lottery. Life doesn't come through the winning. Life comes when we are whole and healed, and we're helping others do the same thing. But we cannot do for others what we haven't done ourselves. And that's the invitation today, the proverbial tap on the shoulder. Will you come? Will you belong? Some of you have taken the step to come in person and be in the building, and thank you for doing that. But what's the next step? Some of you are watching online, and many of you have really good reasons for watching online. I'm going to be honest with you, and many of you do not have good reasons for watching online. See, belonging takes a little work. But the reward we get by being connected to Jesus and the original plan of the gardener is so overwhelmingly good, it overshadows whatever sacrifice you think you made. Will you accept the invitation to connect to the vine? Whether for the first time as a Christ follower, the first time at Gateway, or maybe renew that commitment at Gateway if you already feel like you belong. And if you haven't made a commitment to Christ and you've been coming to Gateway, we're so glad you're here. But what if you made that commitment today? What if all those questions that you're still gonna have, it's okay to have the questions, but what if today was the day you said, I am gonna commit to Christ, the one who gave his life for me, the one who loved me before I loved him, the one who says I belong to him and I have no choice in the matter. What if today were that day? What if today were the day we said it's time to belong to something greater than me? Will you bow your head and close your eyes and let me pray for you? I don't have you do that as a religious thing. I have you do it just as a time to focus and not worry about what's going on around you. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for every brother and sister that I have in this room, because that's what I feel that they are. Every brother and sister who's watching online. God, I know that we get challenged and sometimes challenges aren't fun, and yet the challenge is to encourage people to be connected to you, the original gardener, and to be connected to the vine in you, Jesus. And Lord, for those of us in the room and watching online who have never made a commitment to follow Jesus, would we do that today? Could we say in our heart, today is the day I'm committing to be connected to this vine, this fruitful vine that will give me life and sustain me for the rest of my days. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you're with us and that if we remain in you, you remain in us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.